You'll notice that I had three places in your order of worship this morning that refer to Psalm 33. And I would like you to turn to Psalm 33 this morning. It was not by accident that I put Psalm 33 in the box, and Psalm 33 in the scripture of the month, and Psalm 33 in the responsive reading this morning. As you may recall, and I hope you do, 2 weeks ago, I started a message that I entitled, He Cares. And we looked at some scriptures. And we started out with the battle on the Sea of Galilee. The waves were high, the winds were boisterous. They were going through a mini hurricane by all the evidence that you read there in the text. And Jesus is sound asleep on the back bench in the boat. And water's coming into the boat. The guys are bailing. The guys are rowing. The sail has been perhaps lowered because the ship was being tossed to and fro with it. And so the guys are in terrible shape. They're fearing for their lives. And they woke Jesus up. And they asked the question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I used that as my text verse. And then we looked at some things. We saw his care is shown in his provisions. His provision of physical necessities. He cares for his land. We saw that. He cares for the oxen. And he cares for preachers. And I trust that you saw the connection this morning of Scott doing communion. And if you notice in the bookmark in your bulletin this morning, I don't know what else to call that. If it was over on the edge, you'd call it a sidebar maybe. But I added Scott's name right along with mine. You now have two pastors. And Scott did a great job. First time he's ever served communion. And we'll give him lots of opportunities of practice in that way. God cares for preachers. And he does it, he said, just like the oxen. Now, oxen are beasts of servants. And so preachers are your beast of service. But you'll notice that Scott and I try to get you to do your part in serving the Lord. And you do a great job. This is an awesome church. I hope you understand that. You attend an awesome church. He cares for birds. Many of you have bird feeders, sometimes referred to as bear feeders. But most of the time we're feeding birds. Once in a while the bears get their lick in there too. But he cares for birds. So the conclusion was that he cares for you and me. Because he cares for animals, he cares for birds. He obviously cares for you and me because we are the higher creation. We did not evolve from monkeys, chimpanzees, orangutans, or whatever you will. We are a special creation by God in the Garden of Eden. And God made man and woman, and you and I are it. We are his special care. Then we looked at the spiritual things. The fact that he provides for our spiritual realities. And Scott did an excellent job this morning of explaining those things as he prepared you to partake of the Lord's table. Christ died for you. He died for me. He was our perfect substitute, our perfect sacrifice. And you and I have the privilege of salvation and resurrection and eternal life in heaven with him. And then there's the provisions of heavenly expectations. On earth, you and I can expect peace and joy and love and grace and mercy. Those are things God promises to provide for you and for me. And then in heaven, notice what is in heaven. In heaven, you and I have a home. that dear old course. My home is in heaven just waiting for me. And when I get there, how happy I'll be. Amen? Amen? Our inheritance. And I've never yet figured out all that's involved in that. But here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that you and I are co-children or sons with Jesus Christ. And what the Father gives by way of inheritance to his Son, he gives to you and to me. Romans chapter 8, if you haven't read that lately, go back and read it again. And then eternal bliss. No, you're not going to be sitting on clouds strumming on harps. The world came up with that, not the Christian. But there are harps in heaven, and there is one reference, but it doesn't say you're sitting on a cloud playing them, and doesn't say you're playing them. It said somebody's playing them in heaven. Revelation chapter 4 and 5, you can find that. And then there's no sickness, no suffering, no sin, no sorrow. All of those things are called the former things. And the Bible says in Revelation that they are wiped away. So God cares for you, as shown in his provision. Now, today we want to look at one more. Christ cares for you as he has shown in his promises. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Do you understand that God cares for you? When you are in trouble, God cares for you. When your mate is giving you fits, God is caring for you. When your children are in need, God is caring for them. When your parents are in need, God is caring for them. God said, I care for you. I love you. Now, what in the world does that have to do with Psalm 33? Well, let's look at verse 20. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our what? Our help. Do you ever have a need? Do you ever cry out to God, help? Have you ever been in an accident on the highway or a near accident? What should be the first thing out of your mouth? God help me. And you can shout it, say it, think it, whisper it, pray it, even in that tenth of a second before the crash. And many times God does send help, doesn't he? The crash is avoided. And you think back and you're shaking and you're, as they say, your heart's up in the throat and you have that oomph in the middle of your stomach and you say, how is it that we didn't touch? And you have to say, thank you, Jesus, because the Lord helped you. Did he use angels? I don't know what he did. I think I've crushed a good many angels, but thankfully they rebound quickly, don't they? And so it says, he is our help and our shield. Now, what's a shield for? To deflect the arrows and the sword blows of the enemy. And, of course, that should make you immediately think of Ephesians chapter 6 and the Christian armor, right? But he also promises his compassion. His compassion, Psalm 103 and verse 13. Psalm 103 and verse 13. What's compassion? God promises his compassion. What is it? He feels for us. He understands how bad we feel. He understands our times of sorrow. When we have lost a loved one, whether a parent or a mate or a child, he understands. We don't understand. And we try to empathize with each other. But unless you recently lost your mate, it's pretty hard to really empathize with the person who just lost their mate. And we have a half dozen people who have recently lost mates in this church. And they can empathize with each other. The rest of us, we sympathize. We have sympathy for you, but we can't know how you feel. But God does. God does. So what did I say? Psalm 103. You've all got it, and I'm still talking without it. Psalm 103. And verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Pity, compassion, sympathy. God knows. Look at verse 14. He knows our frame, and he understands that we're dust. Now, I know you're pretty good-looking dust out there, aren't you? And you're pretty active dust. But isn't it interesting that when you die, you return to dust? Now, it may take a long time, but the end result of death is dust. We return back to the dirt that God made us out of. He has compassion. And then third, you'll notice that he promises protection. You can flip back to Psalm 91. And I got there ahead of you, maybe. Psalm 91 and verses 1 to 8. We're looking for the fact that he cares. And he has promised us protection. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What did we sing this morning? Under his wings, my soul shall abide. Under his wings. It's the picture of the mother hen, isn't it? There have been many stories told about this, but one of them is about a rancher who his ranch was hit by prairie fire. And when it was all done and gone through and things had settled down, he went walking around and he saw a clump laying there in the barnyard, and he kicked it. And as he kicked it, he realized it was a mother hen. And as he kicked it and flopped it over, this carcass, charred by the fire, out scurried a bunch of new little chicks. The mother had protected them. She gave her own life, but she had protected her little ones. And that is the picture that is depicted here. Under his wings, my soul shall abide. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Now that's a place you run to hide. Israel was full of caves. And people who lived in an area knew where all the caves were. And when the enemy, the Midianites or the Amalekites, or whoever came to attack their village, would not necessarily know the hiding places. And so they would run and they would hide. Now, some of them had lived in cities that had walls, and so they were fortresses. So when David writes this, he is talking about God, and he's using visual illustrations that they understood. The refuge, the hiding place. The fortress, the place of protection where you could go and hold off the enemy. But you know, it comes right down to it's God that you and I have to trust. It's God who is our refuge. It's God who spreads his wings of protection and care over us. My God, in him I will trust. Amen. And then verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. This was another picture. The Jewish people knew how to set traps to trap birds. Why'd they trap birds? To eat. They were a food source. And so he likens the enemy to a trapper who is trying to catch us in a snare. You know how it's depicted over in 1 Peter chapter 5, where it says that our enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then from the perilous pestilence. What's a pestilence? Well, if you live in southeast Florida, the pestilence is called what? Zika. Some years ago, there were others. There was the swine flu, you remember. There was the bird flu, the avian flu, and so on and so forth. Ebola plague, you remember, in Africa. These are perilous pestilences. Can they happen to us? Absolutely. But he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. That's talking about your armor. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Is there terror by night in our country? Absolutely. By and large, the druggy people are out stealing so they can buy more heroin or more drugs. Wickedness goes on at night, doesn't it? These riots go on at night. And so he understood the terror by night. Remember, they did not have night lights. They did not have any kind of flashlights other than a torch to carry from place to place and building to building. And enemies could easily destroy your home if they were out to get you. Or the arrows that fly by day. You're being shot at. They didn't have guns, they had bows. And they'd pull back and they'd release the arrow and they would attempt to kill you with their arrows. And so God says that he protects us, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. There were all kinds of ways to destroy people's lives and homes, just like today. And so God says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not happen to you. What's God promising? Protection, protection, protection. He promises his protection. Verse 8, only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Friend, God settles the situation. God wins in the end. And you and I, as God's children, can say, we win. Just read the book of Revelation, and it ends with this. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. God wins. And because we are under his wings, we win also. And then number 4, there is the promise of his wisdom. I don't know what to do. Have you ever said that? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Sure you have, lots of times. I don't know what to do. I don't know what job to look for. I don't know who to marry. I don't know what car to buy. And on and on and on, you and I have decisions to make constantly throughout our lives. And God says, I will give you wisdom so that you make right choices and right decisions. James, if you would please. James chapter 1 and verse 6. You probably have it underlined in your Bible. If you don't, please do. James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea and tossed by the wind. And that is not the verse that I want. What verse do I want, everyone? Verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. So there's two things that it says. Verse 5, anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Verse 6, let him ask in faith. And verse 7, let him ask single-mindedly. But you notice what I said three times. Ask. 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 Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Luke 11:9. It rhymes. It's also Matthew chapter 6. One more. Promise of his grace. Last Sunday's theme was a little bit about grace, wasn't it? Last Sunday night. We sang about grace. We talked about grace. Grace, grace. God's wonderful grace. And Brother Roger, when he preached on Sunday night, his message was about grace. The song that even the sinners know. And you know what? I think God is going to bring that song to their mind at the judgment seat. How many times they heard Amazing Grace but never received it. Never received it. My friend, I hope that you have received the grace of God. That you understand that God provides for you through his grace. And that verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, when God is answering Paul's plea to have the thorn in the flesh taken away from him, he pleaded three different times, and I'm sure he did it with fasting and prayer. And God finally said, Paul, will you give it up? I'm not going to take it away from you, but I will give you the grace to endure it. And so God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, acknowledge your weakness and let me show my grace through you. And Paul said, okay, I will glory in my infirmity then, that the power of God may be evidenced through my life. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. God has promised us his care. He said, cast all your care upon me, I care for you. He promised his help, he promised his companionship and his compassion, his protection, his wisdom and his grace. What more do you want, folks? Just talk to God right now and tell him what's bothering you. And then say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to straighten this mess out in my life, in my family, in my job, at the office, at the factory, wherever I am. Father God, we come before you this morning and we ask that you may help us to lean upon you as you want us to hide under your protection, to seek, Lord, your mercy, your grace in our time of need. Bless your people, God, in a special way. Grow us in harmony with you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.